episode 247, People Aren't Out to Get You.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the David Triggs Show, Trick Podcast. Enjoy the rare go. Go, you go. So, wow, the weather's cut you down. The bricks in your car. That doesn't even seem to work anymore, bro. You're looking at your wallet at that waistline, man, wondering what is going on. Don't worry, my dear gozo friend. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about go, talking about gozo. Today, here with my gozo bell, I want to talk to you about how to stop feeling like people are out to get you. Have you ever fallen into that trap or into maybe that trauma of thinking that everyone is out to get you? That people have some sort of negative attitude or feeling about you. Now, what do you do when that actually has happened to you? And so now you have been left in many ways traumatized. Maybe someone has left you, someone has hurt you or violated your rights. And so don't we have good reason to now be afraid or to be just to have a difficult time accepting people's love? Well, that's been my story for many years, but I actually wanted to give you a few tips on how, by the grace of God, I have been overcoming that fear, realizing that I think, if I can be honest, that a lot of that is just a big fat lie. Can you say, gozo bell? We ring that bell every time we say some truth or we have some fun here. I wonder if you deal with the same thing. So let me just tell you a little bit about what's happened to me. Over the years, I have dealt with haters, people that without a doubt have been out to get me. I mean, I literally was just, as I was preparing for this podcast, I wrote down the names and the events of, I don't know, five or six people that were truly out to get me. They told me so. They did things to try to bring me down. And so that leaves an imprint in someone's life. It leaves you feeling not scared. I don't feel scared, but it leaves you, I think I would say, just traumatized, right? It leaves you traumatized. It at least is what it's done for me. Now, when that happened to me, And these things even happened just in the last few years. The last time that it happened about 2 years ago. What they caused in me, and maybe you can relate to this, is I end up then pushing people away and not believing that people really care about me. And so as I've been processing all of this, I actually had a revelation last night. I was playing the piano, singing some worship songs at church. And the worship leader was singing a beautiful song called I Surrender. Not the hymn that I love as well, but a newer song called I Surrender. And as I was singing that song, the Holy Spirit told me that it is time to surrender the one thing that's been holding me back. And that one thing is to assume that everyone is out to get me and to accept the fact that people actually love me. Do you need to realize the same thing? Can you say yes, amen? And so it really was a very powerful and very emotional moment for me. And so I wanted to give you some tips on how I've gotten to this place. I'm just beginning to heal from that trauma, I believe, but I can't wait to step into this new reality. And I hope that you, if you identify with my story, if you also have reason to run away from people or feel like people are out to get you, and therefore you defend yourself or you run from them or whatever your technique may be, if you're ready to step into love, both to let people love you, which I think is huge, and most of all, to realize that people do love you and to let that get through to you, then I want to give you some tips. So first, I want to start with talking about the problem. So the reason why we need to stop feeling like people are out to get us is because otherwise we end up pushing people away, hurting them. The very people that love you are the very people that you end up hurting. Your husband, your family, your friends, your girlfriend, your parents, people in leadership, the very people that are trying to love you because of your trauma, you end up hurting. So let me rephrase that. We end up hurting the very people that we need. As the saying goes, hurt people hurt people. And that's been true of me because I have been hurt in this area, and it's like a limp, right? I remember when I broke my ACL, my knee. Even though I had surgery and therapy for a year, I was so afraid to test my knee and to play basketball once again because of what had happened. So the same thing happens. You are traumatized. You've been injured when it comes to your emotions and the trust that you gave that person. And so now, anyone that tries to even get close to you, especially those obviously who we love or who we want to love or whose love we need, we end up pushing them away and hurting them. Second, we end up feeling alone. On the defensive, we come across as violent, as loners, as haters, as the very people that we're trying to avoid. I can think of at least 4 or 5 friends of mine that I can honestly say that they have been better friends to me than I have been to them. And I would say the reason why is first because of pride, because I somehow think I'm superior than others, which is to my shame. And then second, because of this trauma of thinking that they're out to get me. And so in many ways, I need to, as I kind of move forward in this, do almost like a public and personal apology to those of you, if perhaps you're listening to this, who have tried to love me, and because of many reasons, I have not allowed you to love me. I'm sorry for that. I want to grow and change in this. And you might want to think about the same thing. Who are the people that you have pushed away because of your fear, because of the trauma? Now, let me say this up front as a disclaimer. There are some people that you should never let back into your life. Can you say amen to that? Does anybody know what I'm talking about, right? There are people in my life that I will never let back in. Not that I hate them, not that I'm not trying to be like Jesus and love my enemies, but I'm not going to let certain people back into my life. This is not about being an idiot or letting people victimize you for the rest of your life. If anything, it's about being free from what they've done to you. But for the rest of the people that haven't done a thing to you, or maybe they simply were just saying something that was true of you, for those people, I hope that we can grow for the sake of those relationships. So I want to go through, first, I want to give you a few things on why do we end up feeling this way? What caused this problem in me? And perhaps you can relate to this. Number one is some people were indeed out to get me. So let me just say again, this isn't made up. The reason why you feel the way you feel, the reason why you are afraid of people is because something indeed happened. I've been in those meetings where people were out to get me. As I said, there have been those 4 or 5 events in my life where I experienced racism, jealousy, hate, envy, you name it. And so let me first acknowledge that things actually did happen in your life. Acknowledge that. Know that so that you never let this happen to you again. But it's not enough just to let that have happened. Number two is you also have to acknowledge that perhaps you made some mistakes and then you feel guilty because of those mistakes. Now, let me once again say, if you were sexually abused, if you were beaten by a man, if something traumatic happened, if you were beaten, sexually abused as a child, I am in no way saying, Ghost of Bell here, that that was your fault or that you made a mistake. So I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if something professionally or in a relationship was a two-way street, it's good to know you're part of the deal so that you can grow from it. And to know that the reason why we sometimes reject other people's love is because we feel such shame about what we've done. That's what I'm talking about. And so we have to deal with the shame. Because at least for me, the reason why I push people away isn't just because someone hurt me before, but it's also because I feel guilty myself of my part in the situation, and I'm still trying to remain, in some ways, pay for the sins of my past or the sins of my youth. And that gets in the way. Number three, because of childhood trauma. And all these are related. The reason why we end up pushing people away is because of trauma that you may have gone through. For me, it was the thought that I'm not good enough, that I don't know black from white or right from wrong, that I wish I had had the emotional and professional and really just life guidance to know what was right and what was wrong. Now, let me just say, in case you don't know my story, I did have that for the first 10, 11 years of my life. But when I hit those teenage years, oh my goodness, right? All those emotions running through me, all those hormones and all these thoughts and experiences, I didn't know what to do with them. And so I made mistakes, or I thought or felt things that I didn't know what to do with. And then as I began to experience shame, or as I experienced fear from situations that I found myself in, I then ended up saying, well, I just must not be good enough. I need to do more to make up for what I didn't do 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Number four, sometimes it's just tough to believe someone would actually love the unlovable parts of you. Many times, the reason why I push others away is because I can't believe that you would want to love me as I am. Because only I know what truly is in me. All the dark places, all the evil thoughts, all the things that I wish I wouldn't even think about. And so to imagine that you would love me for who I am, as I am, is inconceivable. It's incomprehensible to me. And as I've heard it said, if I knew you the way that you really are, I may not love you either, right? So in many ways, we're all in the same boat, right? We're all in the same situation. But maybe you push people away because you feel so unlovable. And then here in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some tools on how to overcome these things. But I'm talking about kind of why do we end up being in this dilemma? Number six, it's because it's easy to forget the lovable parts of who we are. We tend to push people away because we focus on the negative. Have you noticed how easy it is to focus on the negative parts of ourselves, of our character, of our lives? It's so easy to forget anything that is of worth in us. When people tell me, you're such a great mentor, I never say thank you because I don't believe it. When people say, you're so inspiring, or your messages give me such hope, I throw most of that stuff away because I have a hard time believing that I have worth in and of myself. Because when I think of the positive things, let's say that adds up to, I don't know, the number 10. When I think of all the negative things in my life, they add up to a million. And so when I compare $10 to $1 million, if you're giving me $10 and yet I'm in debt $1 million to Bank of America, guess what your $10 means to me? It means nothing. So when the vacuum of your heart is so in debt, so in the black, in the red, I guess, no matter what people say, no matter what they do or what they tell you, it'll never touch that depth of need that you have inside of you. Can you say, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I can relate to that, right? Can you relate to that? It's easy to forget the unlovable parts of ourselves. The lovable parts of ourselves. I'm a musician. I'm a gifted speaker. I'm a gifted musician. I'm a gifted mentor. I am fun. I love music. I love people. Imagine being able to make that worth $1 million, not $10. And I love, there's so many stories that I think of here from Jesus where he talked about the evil king who was forgiven, or the evil, I guess he was a servant who was forgiven of $1 million debt. And when someone came to him who owed him $10, he threw him in jail. And Jesus used that parable to say, that's not who I am. To be in the kingdom of God is the opposite, is you realize that you are worth $1 million. And no matter who takes away $10 or $20 or even $1,000, it doesn't touch you because you are worth more than gold. So now, what do we do? What are some of the tips that I can give you here? I have 5 tips to give you on how to begin the process of turning the tables on this issue of hating or of pushing people away. Now, before I do that, let me read to you a few verses, especially one that I love the most from Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And if you're not a religious person or a Jesus follower, just understand the principles that are in these verses that are so true. It's talking about what separates us from love. This is so powerful because I think at the end of the day, what I'm talking about here is feeling separated from love. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Now, in these days, we don't deal with swords or famines or nakedness, at least not most people that would listen to a podcast, right? But in your life, maybe we can replace this verse with the following. Who shall separate you from the love, from feeling lovable? Shall trauma, abuse, violence, sexual issues, or domestic abuse, or separation from your parents, or feelings of unworth? Now, those are the things that we deal with, right? So when posed with that question, we would say, well, of course I feel separated from love. Why would anybody love me if they knew all that I've been through? Well, let me keep reading. It says, just as it is written. Now he's going to go back and quote the Old Testament. He says, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long, where we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So in other words, he's making the point once again, he's emphasizing the same thing, that the way that things used to be is that we would be put to death. Back in the old days, we would be put to death for all of the things that we would deal with. Meaning when distress would come, when violence would come, when the sword would come, and all these different groups and tribes would be in fights over land and over things, of course death would come and people would die. But then he says in verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through God who loves us. So he's saying there is another way. There is a way out from death. You don't have to live as a victim to the things of your life, of your past, or the things that others have done to you. Through love, through God who loved us, he's saying here, you can be more than a conqueror. And he calls it an overwhelming conqueror. Don't you want to be an overwhelming conqueror, or a conqueror who overwhelms or who defeats all of these enemies around you? Yes, right? Can you say, yes, sign me up? So how do we do this? Well, here's the answer. He says, for I am convinced, what a great word, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created or thing that is not created shall be able to separate me, he says, from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's saying, because of the love of God, because God doesn't come with a sword, but he comes with his grace, because I can receive healing from all of my problems through Jesus who saves me, through the love of God that is in us, because of that, I am convinced that nothing, not death, not life, not violence, not trauma, not war, not sword, not abuse, not sexual problems, not growing up without your parents, not knowing right from wrong, nothing can separate you from the love of God, from the love that you need from people, from the depth of relationship that is available to you. Nothing, the author here says, can separate me if I know that the love of God heals all those wounds, that the love of God can take away every painful moment and every painful memory and remove it from my life forever. Once I know, and once I am convinced that the love of God can do that in me, then I can move with confidence and conquer my fears and conquer my enemies and know that nothing can separate me from the life that is available to me. Nothing. And that process is so powerful and so beautiful. And that's the process that I and many millions of others are on. And I hope that you also can get on that process. Now, let me give you some practical steps on how to do that, okay? If that was inspiring but not practical, let me give you some steps to follow. Number one, I have five things. Believe people when they tell you that they love you. Believe them. Yes, they are imperfect. Yes, they may change their mind next month, next year, the next decade. Yes, they are saying what they can in that moment. But believe people. Stop thinking that everyone is lying to your face when they say that they love you. Even if people don't say that to you, believe their actions. Believe the best in them. Wouldn't you want that for yourself? Would you want people in your life, your husband, your friends, your neighbors, to not believe that you care? To not believe that you really have a good heart? Would you want them to somehow second guess your intentions? Even though you are just another human being, you're not perfect. Wouldn't you want people to believe that you really do love them? I mean, I would hope that my kids believe me when I tell them I love them, even though I'm an imperfect man. I definitely want my wife of 23 years to believe me when I say that I love her, even if I don't take out the trash every Wednesday, as I should. So you know what I'm talking about, right? As imperfect as my love is, I want my wife to know that I love her. So therefore, give people the benefit of the doubt. Believe that they love you. Number two is look at the numbers of significant events that you've experienced in your life. Go back and instead of recounting all of the horrible experiences, recount the wonderful moments when you felt loved. When people express that love to you through the five languages of love, words of affirmation, acts of service, touch, time spent, gifts, whatever your preferred language of love is, recount the ways, even this week, this month, this year, when people express that love to you. Remember those things. Look at the significant events. So for example, in my life, just a little thing, okay, that happened just the other night. I have a coworker that is great, and she does great work at our church. I was sitting down, and normally when I'm about to speak, I don't eat, you know, because when you're a speaker, you don't want to be eating a bunch of food and whatever. But knowing that I hardly ever speak, this coworker was actually helping in the kitchen, and she brought me a chicken tostada. And you don't know how that meant, how much that meant to me. Normally, as I said, I would not eat. And normally, if someone would give me food, I normally would not want it. But something, I don't know, I guess I like chicken tostadas, right? I ate that thing. I literally brought it with me up on stage, and I was trying not to eat it in front of people, but I sort of was. I felt so moved by that moment. It meant the world to me. I don't know why. Maybe because I was thinking about all these things. I let someone's kindness through to my dark and my hardened heart. And God softened my spirit just through a very simple, tangible act of love. So I'm going to ask you a silly question. What is your chicken tostada? In other words, what's a tangible, simple, mundane thing that someone recently did that you need to receive and let through to your heart? Number three is remember, people's deep love means the world to you. Acknowledge, remember that you need people's love. Stop acting like you don't need them. Stop trying to find the love that you need from people in drugs, in sex, in technology, in inappropriate relationships, in overeating or drinking. Acknowledge the fact that you need people in your life. And obviously we all know this, but sometimes, at least it happens to me, I can get so jaded or so hardened on the outside or so fake on the outside that I honestly believe that I can maybe just live without love. That perhaps I'm one of those special weird types that can just live alone and not need relationship to survive. But the opposite is true. The only reason why you're saying that is because of the depth of the trauma in your life, of how your skin has gone from hard skin or from tough skin to impenetrable skin. None of us should be so impenetrable that we don't allow good people to do good things to us. Remember that you need people. And that when you receive that love, it means the world to you. I have another example of that. Years ago, I had this musician who I would work with. And he was younger than me, still is, obviously. And maybe because of that, I never really put much attention to all his gifts. He was definitely a gift giver. He would bring me flutes. He would bring me t-shirts. He'd buy me shoes. This guy was a younger man. I was maybe 30. He was 20. At first, I thought, oh, he's just, you know, being nice. But he really wanted to express his appreciation for all the time I had spent mentoring him by giving me these gifts. Again, though, to my shame, I don't think I ever reciprocated that love. Of course, I would say thank you, but I never did something in return. I never allowed his kindness to reach my heart. Now, gifts aren't my love language. Words are. But it wasn't even about that. It was about the fact that I wasn't letting him into my heart because of my own trauma and my own issues. I needed his love. Years later, I was unemployed. And that same friend had become very successful in a tech company. And guess who I called? I called him. And he tried to help me here and there. But, you know, honestly, I think he felt offended by my lack of love, by the years that I had allowed to just go unnoticed. And now that I, quote, needed something desperately from him, here I was knocking on his door. Number four, it's time to acknowledge what is amazing and beautiful about you. It's time to acknowledge your gifts and your talents and who you are. As I said earlier, for most of us, we have such a terrible time acknowledging who we are. Now, don't get me wrong, we love telling ourselves and joking about how awesome we are, right? It's almost that Gen X thing that a friend of mine told me. He's like, dude, you're like, yes, 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 and no, no, no at the same time. Love me, and hate me at the same time. hug me, and get away at the same time, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about acknowledging what is beautiful about you. And practice self-love, as they call it, or gratitude. Practice gratitude, but not just about all the things that you're thankful for that other people have done, or that, you know, that you're thankful that you have a beautiful house, or that your wife loves you, or your husband is nice, or you have a great apartment. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about being thankful for who you are, specifically. So, for example, for me, as I said, that I'm an amazing musician, that I'm bright, that I'm a mentor, that I'm loving, that I'm a tech person, that I'm a content creator, content creating machine, and that I'm all over the place with things. That is who I am. I'm a Renaissance man. It's important to acknowledge who you are, to get clear on your gifts and talents, not on your deficiencies. Everyone knows your deficiencies. And no one knows it more than yourself. Acknowledge what is great about you. And then lastly, number five, is acknowledge your weaknesses, but forgive yourself. Let God into your heart. Let Jesus heal those difficult parts of who you are. Do something about your deficiencies. Don't try to cover them up. Don't try to ignore them. And even worse, don't let them overwhelm you. Instead, acknowledge them and say, God, I need your forgiveness. And then if he leads you to go and ask an actual human being for forgiveness, you know, someone who you were mean to, someone who you maybe hurt through your words or through your actions, go and apologize to them as well. That's what love does. You want to be able to overcome your shame problems, your guilt issues, your depression. Why don't you try asking someone for forgiveness? It might just be that simple. Apologize to somebody else. Oh, well, you don't know what they've done to me. Well, I'm only going to apologize if they apologize to me. Well, they're going to take it the wrong way and use it against me. Yes, all that could be true. And yet, we're not doing it for that for them. We're doing it to be right with God. We're doing it, most of all, to be right with ourselves, to be free from the punishment of shame and guilt and isolation. To, as this verse says, to be convinced that nothing can separate you from love, from the love of God through Christ. Nothing can separate you from the beauty and the perfection of love, only if you let it. And sometimes acknowledging your weaknesses, forgiving yourself and asking God through his son Jesus to take away your shame is the only way to go. So as you can imagine, this topic has been very, very emotional to me. I guess maybe just in closing, I want to just tell you a little bit about what I'm doing about this and maybe to be honest with you about this. This is not an easy thing for me. I don't come to this topic as a guru or as someone who's got this figured out. It has been so hard for me to accept and to believe that people love me. And I know the reasons. I have spent the thousands of dollars in therapy and mentors and prayer and church and God and everything. So it's not from a lack of trying. But I think the depth of the insecurity within me is so big that I'm just beginning to let people love me. You know, one of the things that has helped me tremendously is this beautiful community that I'm a part of. This spiritual community that I'm a part of right now. I would say through all of my years of being in church leadership has been one of the most beautiful and healing communities I've ever been a part of. I have very little reason, if not zero reason, to think that they are out to get me. In fact, I would say that I've been wrong more times than they have been wrong to me. I have been wrong to them more times than they have been wrong to me. Have there been things? Yes, here and there, two or three things. I mean, come on. We're talking about leadership is leadership, right? Anytime you're a creative or creating content, or in my case, sermons and things like that, or opinions, you're going to have opposition, which is fine, or just simply the color of the carpet, right? I mean, just silly things. But for the most part, by far, this community has been a healing place for me. And God is using it to create in me a cleaner heart and to make me into a more wounded healer. And I thank God for that community because it's Jesus' body. It's his work. It's his love in them healing my wounded heart. And so I want to ask you, do you have a place like that? Do you have people in your life that are helping you along your journey? Are you letting them in? Let them in. Let them heal you. Acknowledge their greatness. Apologize. If somebody hurts you, speak out and say, that hurts me, and get back on the horse and get back into that relationship and don't let things just go to waste. Don't run away. Maybe it's time to stop running away and to let the community that you're in now, or that relationship, or even that job, be the place that heals you once and for all from the shame and the trauma of your childhood. That is really my prayer, my desire. I don't want to keep people. I don't want to keep people at bay. I don't want to keep pushing people away. I need to be loved. I want to love them. I want to be one with people. And if something happens, then I will, meaning if they do something or I do something, then I will deal with it. I will confess it. I will confront it if needed. And let's move on and let's keep things going. I don't want anything to separate me from the love of God or the love that I have with people. Will I be wounded again? Will I be hurt again? Will you be hurt again? Yes, you will. It'll happen to you again. Someone will hurt you. Someone will do something to want to take you back to the trauma of old. But resist. Resist that temptation. Stand against it in Jesus' name and say to that fear, to that person, or to that situation, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved, because now that I'm in my truth, now that I'm in my new reality, I will not go back. My prayer for you today is that you will acknowledge that you need love and that you need people and that you need the very people that are around you in your life. And my second prayer is that you would have the knowledge and the tools and the courage to work out that relationship, to invest into that relationship, to look for ways to make that relationship beautiful once again. And maybe together we will one day be one and be united and be able to eat together and to live a beautiful life of what I like to call here a life of gozo. I want to encourage you, if you want my coaching, if you want to talk further about this, reach out to me, email me, trig@davidtrigg.com, or go to my website, lifeofgozo.com/coaching, and let's set up a free consultation so we can just talk about where you're at, and maybe we can set something up so that we can help each other out. Thank you again, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.